Okay. We're on the stream now. Thank you, Polina, for putting us on the stream. I'm Julie Hewitt, the chair of the Pacific National Board, and this is the special meeting for Thursday, September 15th. It is 8:40 p.m. on the East Coast. Calling the meeting to order. Marianne, would you call the roll, please?
I will do so. Teresa Allen.
Present.
Good. Gert, I take it, is not. Jim Dingman.
Here.
Good. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Here.
Good. Sue Goodwin.
Here.
Good. Heather Gray.
Here.
Good. Donna Grimes. I don't hear anything. Evelia Jones. I don't hear anything. Ali Lexa asked for an excused absence. Marianne Martinez.
Present.
Good. James McFadden.
Here.
Good. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Good. Lawrence Reyes. I'm not hearing anything. Nope. Okay. And Sean Rhodes asked for an excused absence. James Sagerton.
Here.
Good. Sharon Salam. No evidence. Okay. Aki Tanaka. Not here. Mark van Landout.
Present.
Ah, good. Beth van Gunten.
Here.
Good. Egberto Willis. There was a rumor that Egberto was coming on. I hear nothing yet.
He said he is getting on, but he's just not on yet.
Gotcha. Okay, and Susan Young asked for an excused absence. And Julie Hewitt.
I am here.
Yes. Okay, staff. Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Good. Is Julia Kennard on today?
She will not be here this evening.
Okay. Is Markisha intended to be on these calls now?
I don't think for the short run. I think we'll let Stephanie give reports and see how that goes for a while.
Okay, and Polina, do I mark Polina as excused?
I think you can mark Polina's, she got us started, but.
Yeah, okay. I'll leave it blank.
It doesn't matter either way, really.
Yeah. Okay, and John Tatum?
I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
I'm here.
And I'm here. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I believe we have a quorum.
I would like to note that I believe Aki Tanaka has joined us, if you want to call us in.
I will mark that. And we do indeed have a quorum.
All right. Thanks, Marianne. The next item on the agenda is to read the report out from the closed session of September 8th. And the report out is the PNB met in closed session to conduct a trial. Next item up is excused absences. We have several who requested an excused absence. We have a few more. I will also note that it looks like Egberto Willis has now joined us too.
Oh, good.
If you'd like to.
I'm here.
Got it. Thank you.
Move to excuse everybody.
Second. Thank you, Jim Dingman. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mark. Are there any objections to excusing those who are absent this evening? Hearing none, we'll consider.
Sorry. May I ask who is absent?
I can read the list.
Go ahead.
Bert Cohen, Donna Grimes, Evelia Jones, Ali Lexa, Lawrence Reyes, Sharon Salam. Oh, and Susan Young.
And Sean Rhodes.
Oh, did I miss him?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think.
I've got him marked as excused on here.
Yeah. Okay.
I move to excuse.
Yeah, well, Jim Dingman already moved and Mark seconded. Okay. So, okay. So I asked for whether there were any objections. And I think, Teresa, you just asked the question. So I will ask again, are there any objections to excusing those just named as having excused absences? Hearing none, those absences are excused. Okay, so then the next item on the agenda is identifying timekeepers. I need someone to time people.
I'll do it, Julie. This is Heather.
Thank you. And I need someone to time us on topics. Can I get a volunteer? Someone.
Sorry, I can't. I'm not at a computer. I'm at a phone.
I'm sorry, but I'm attention deficit, and I would not be good.
That's okay. I don't want anybody to, you know, do it if they really don't think they can pull it off.
I have my timer at hand. Just keep saying with each item.
I can do that, Darlene. If you'd be willing to, you know, let us know, I'll tell you every time we get to a new item how much time we have. All right.
Exactly. So thank you.
Thank you. So Darlene will time items. Okay. So that brings us to the next item on the agenda, which is agenda approval. That is a 5-minute item, Darlene. I will run through the agenda quickly here. Item 3 is approving minutes. Item for 5 minutes. Item 4 is the ED report and Q&A for 15 minutes. Item 5 is a motion on conducting performance reviews for GMs. That is a 15-minute item. There is one item under unfinished business, which is a carryover motion from a previous meeting. That's a 30-minute item. And then we have new business at 1 minute because I don't think there is any. And item 8 is adjourned to a closed session at a time certain of, well, I was guessing 9:45, based on an on-time start. But anyway, that's the agenda. Are there any, and the motion that carried, just to be clear about it, the motion that carried over is a motion that Jim Dingman's made, basically about programming, if you will. That we've had on our agendas for a couple of weeks now. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Mark. A second? Anyone? All right, I'll second it.
Thank you.
Is there any discussion of the agenda? All right. Got an easy crowd tonight. Are there any objections to the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. That takes us to item number 3, which is approving minutes. I didn't write the date down of what minutes we have, but I do believe that Polina sent out meeting minutes earlier today.
September 1,
thank you. Are there, so yes, this is meeting minutes for the meeting of September 1st, the open session. Any discussion of the meetings from September 1st?
Move to approve.
I mean the minutes? Sorry.
Move to approve.
Oh, thank you, Jim Dingman. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mark. Any discussion of? Oh, hang on 1 second. I'm on the wrong agenda. It's going to be important to be on the open session agenda. Good grief, what just happened here? Any discussion of the minutes of September 1st? Hearing none. Any objection to approving the minutes of September 1st? Hearing none, those minutes are approved. As always, subject to any revisions people would later suggest. Thank you. That brings us to item 4 on the agenda, which is a 15-minute item, Darlene. This one is the ED report and Q&A. Stephanie, go ahead.
Thank you. What we continue to still focus on is basically managing our daily cash and figuring out, working very closely with Julia and Markeisha, looking at the daily cash balance again of what we have and determining what vendors we can pay and what vendors we can continue to make little payments, paying down what is past due, making sure that we're funding payroll and keeping on top of any sort of outstanding bills or something that may come our way. You know, for example, we had another quick plumbing issue that was over at KPFK. So, you know, we have sometimes those unexpected expenses that are happening. What we're facing truly at this point, is that we have roughly all of the units, most of the units together, the cash that we have to work on with all of the units is basically $61,000 in cash that we have available. And we have $815,000 in, aged payables. So we have, again, quite the dilemma to kind of determine what are we paying, what are we not paying, what can we start to pay down, negotiating with some of the vendors that we have to make sure that we can either start making smaller payments, again, in good faith effort to pay that down. I mean, the majority of those past due payables are quite past due, and they've kind of come to the point where some of the organizations that we owe money to are not that conducive to us being able to negotiate with them, but we definitely are working with personal phone calls and trying to explain our financial situation to a lot of these vendors. What's happening is that there is funding that is not coming into the national office through central services. And for many years, a lot of the central service money has been just kind of moved on paper only with no cash actually hitting the bank of the national office. So if someone, for example, is lending money to another unit to do something, you know, rather than in the past saying, okay, you can pay that money back, it would be, oh, we'll just subtract that from your central services. So whereas that might have been kind of a working thing to do a few years ago, it's come a point where there is no available cash that's in the national office where we can help assist a lot of the divisions when they need assistance. And that's kind of what we're here for. So we have been still covering health benefit payments for many of those stations as well as payroll shortfalls. But there isn't an ability to have any of that paid back. So that just is a continual drain on what's, you know, what's being spent. So again, we're taking a close look every single day at our daily cash and trying to manage and set aside and, you know, save what we need when we know that we have existing bills that are coming up. We have some of the major things that are due before the end of the month is a lot of past due health benefits that still need to be paid. We're covering those from the national office, but there may not be a lot of cash to continue with that. We have the FJC interest loan that is due at the end of the month, and that's roughly about $48,000 for the interest, and that's due on the 30th. And then we also have our final payment to NEDA that is also due at the end of the month. So we are trying to make sure that we set aside as much cash as we can to try to get those paid on time or prior. As far as a lot of the stations with their fund drives, we are, of course, emphasizing with the general managers and the program directors the immediate and urgency to continue with their fund drives or to begin fund drives if they haven't done so already. There is, I know the WPFW, we're still trying to work on a date with that. There is scheduled to have a fund drive starting on the 26th, Monday the 26th of this month. The general manager is stressing to try to have that fund drive start on Friday the 23rd as they have quite a few payments for things that are due on the 25th. So we are at this point still trying to negotiate to try to get that fund drive started at least earlier than when the payments are due on the 25th. KPFA is starting their fund drive on Tuesday the 20th. KPFK is at this point looking at the possibility of having a passive fund drive kind of in partnership with KPFA starting on the 20th and then leading into a full pledge drive 1 week following, which would be Tuesday the 27th. We are also stressing in conversations I've had with KPFK to try to use as they're doing their fund drive, not rely quite so heavily on purchasing premiums and then offering those because the station is behind on paying for some of those premiums and also on shipping them out. So rather than kind of having a fund drive where we're going into it in already owing money for past premiums, is really taking a close look at a lot of the logoed items that they already have, t-shirts, cup cozies, you know, whatever it is that we have back there, they're taking a look and trying to take inventory. And even if they are older logos on t-shirts or things that aren't using anymore, to try to pull them, just go ahead and promote that as the historical aspect of KPFK and sort of promote it as, you know, we've been here for so many years. This is great. History is wonderful. Go ahead and support us. And also trying to put together just, I asked them as well to put together carts that could just be aired every half hour, every hour, you know, whenever they can plug it in, that it's just basically telling people, you know, you listen to us, we support you with the programs, please support us, and not in try to get out of that main frame of thought where in order to give something, in order to make a donation, you expect to get something in return. It's great if we have t-shirts and things to send out, but we really need to just keep pushing that message of making a donation because you believe in our mission and because you believe in our stations, and you don't always need to get something in return for that. So they're, at KPFK at least, they're starting to, with this drive that's coming up, particularly being a passive drive and then leading into this other drive, is trying to look at it that way, where it's not always a give and get, but it is a give out of the goodness of your heart. So we will see where that goes. We are still working with the union at KPFK to get that agreement and the amendment made to the SAG-AFTRA contract, or the SAG-AFTRA agreement that we have, to start implementing the staff reductions. Arthur is working with that with the SAG-AFTRA reps, and we should have that going pretty soon. The other division that also has been including a cut in their hours and a reduction, that will be starting this upcoming pay period, so that will be effective starting this week. And in order to save time, I'll go ahead and take any questions so we can move on in a timely manner.
All right. I see your hand, Teresa, but I have Jim Sagerton, Jim Dingman, and Teresa. Go ahead, Sagerton. You're muted. Still. James Sagerton? All right, go ahead, Jim.
I'm concerned about the situation at KPFK, and while it's always been a laudable medium to long range goal to wean us off of reliance on premiums, especially at stations where listeners have become accustomed to premiums, it has fallen very flat on its face to try to cut that off. So I hope if that's going to go forward, that it's going to be a mix of premiums and, you know, appeal for the, you know, swag or whatever you want to call it, the mugs and the other things that we have. It's historically, it has failed miserably to just try and do that. And this is a time when we are in a very serious situation. And it's would be a horrible time to have that fall on its face. So I hope we're going to do at least a mix of fundraising and not try to go to that model solely, or even, you know, more than 50%.
Thanks, Jim. Did you want to say anything in response, Stephanie?
There are certain premiums that will be offered if they're tying in with the programming itself, whether that's music and tickets or signed books, that kind of thing. Where we are at this point is that there is still money that is owed to the people that have done great pitching for us for premiums and fund drives that have been done over the last month and even the month prior. So we need to get caught up in those past due payables to the people that were doing pitching for us. And even though they are aware that they're not getting paid right now, they're also trying to figure out different items that they can pitch, because the last month it didn't go as well as even the pitch person had hoped it to be. So they're trying to develop something new, but at the same time, we haven't paid them for the last 2 months. So it's not, you know, 100% willing to step up and do a lot of that for us at this moment.
May I have a follow-up, Chair?
Sure, go ahead.
Would the they be Christine and perhaps any others that you might name? But maybe we shouldn't do that here. I forgot we're in a public session.
I'm in conversation with the people that are pitching for us, so I am working with them, even in generating different options for fundraising and a different type of revenue stream in addition to on-air fundraising. So I am in conversations with some of those people. Yes.
It sounds like you will be planning to monitor that very closely to see how it's going. If it's not going well, we need to adjust that quickly. Thank you.
Thanks. Jim Dingman, then Teresa. Jim?
Yeah. Okay. First of all, it'd be useful to get a detailed breakdown as to what's the composition of this 800,000 in direct payables, what stations, who are the vendors, what are the terms, what's the emergency with all of them. Now, let me go into prescriptions. A, are there carts that are made that are played every hour, 30-second carts, that are directly associated with the need to have people pay and fund at this level, this emergency question of 800,000 to reduce it? In other words, every station should have playing as part of its 1 hour, particularly its 5-minute transition, a 30-second cart that talks about this and has some way to have people directly donate to have this deficit reduced. Secondly, the need to have a town hall or some sort of national broadcast with you, Stephanie, and others talking directly to the listeners in a must-carry situation, talking about this problem, not pussyfooting around. Just get right straight to the and do it at prime time. Do it the most visible time of the day part that people actually knowing that this is going on. And if it continues, we're going to have some unpleasant consequences. So it has to be addressed immediately. Three, the issue of associating good pitchers with shows. It's been my experience, if you put somebody on who's extremely good at pitching, I can think of a number of people, I won't name them, but they're very good, with weak shows, that tends to increase the amount of revenue they get. So again, obviously the fund drives have been recalibrated to occur prior to the 30th, but if you have fund drives that have experienced pitchers working with each show.
Jim, your time is up.
Let me just finish my comment. I'll come back around on this. That can actually enhance the ability of shows to make money. So I'll just stop right now. I have other things to say. I'm going to come back around on the queue.
Thanks, Jim. Teresa's next, then Darlene. Teresa?
Stephanie, I don't know whether you're aware of it, but 1 year, WUMN and in Albuquerque made a concerted effort to raise more money through vehicle donations. They raised $125,000 that year. I'd be happy to talk to you about how they did it. I mean, if somebody had an RV, that could maybe raise $100,000. And I think that maybe we need to think it out of the box when it comes to vehicle donations, because somebody that is sweating blood over giving $100, I talked to somebody, said, what, my vehicle made $2,000? Gave a car, was not aware that the car was worth that much when it went to auction. Anyway, I think that we ought to consider motorcycles, boats, and trailers, and do something special to raise vehicles, because there's no strings tied to those donations, so we could use the money from those to be applied toward the $800,000 that we owe. We ought to start working right now on Giving Tuesday. We are the ultimate volunteer organization, and it sounds to me like we are not planning well enough in advance of pledge drives. As in challenge grants, I think every programmer right now needs to contact 10 people and say, would you help me be my patron, be someone that would offer a challenge grant?
Your time is up.
Anyway, I would love to talk to you about these ideas, because I think that we're just thinking so narrowly about our pledge drives that we're missing many opportunities. Thank you.
Darlene, then Jim Dingman again. Darlene?
Yes. Stephanie, I had some money questions. So we have $813,000 in aged payables, but what do we have in immediate payroll and, you know, and health benefits? And then what is coming in as our, you know, first 30-day payables? And Julie, the timer just went off. We're at 15 minutes.
Thank you. Stephanie, you can go ahead and answer.
I can, I don't have a breakdown off of the top of my head, but I can pull up that spreadsheet of what we have due each month. We get the payables, I get the age payables for each station that we have access to those on a weekly basis. So I can pull, I just got the national office yesterday, and then from that we determine what we're going to pay, and then KPFK we get, WBAI is not in a spreadsheet, but we get that every couple of weeks. But I can pull those numbers and then plug them inside. I don't want to pull something off of the top of my head when it's like multiple, you know, we get five to seven different spreadsheets.
Can I take one tiny dive into that? Do we consider payables past due at 30, 90, 120 days? How do we age our payables?
The payables are past due after 30 days. Okay. So we have some past due payables that are on the list that are 2 to 3 years old.
Right. I just was wondering how we classify things. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Stephanie, for the response there. I want to note that, Lawrence appears to have joined us.
Oh.
Yes, I have. Thank you.
Thank you. I see a bunch more hands. I see Jim Dingman, Egberto, and Jim Sagerton on the queue, again.
Move to extend by 10 minutes.
Thank you. Is there a second?
A second.
Thank you. That was Egberto. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for 10 minutes? Hearing none, 10 more minutes, Darlene. Thank you. It's Jim Dingman, then Egberto. Go ahead, Jim.
All right. Well, I would propose that we set up an emergency task force to deal with this problem right now. That is, it's just going to focus in on how do we knock out this 800,000 and knock it down. Because there's all these ideas that people have that always we have this big fight on the underwriting issue, and people are talking about, well, I've wanted to see publicity. I've wanted to see to get money from them, have their members join. You know, okay, let's do it. What's stopping people? Let's do it. So I propose that we set up something like this and actually implement, not sit there and talk, but figure out how to implement. Because we still have control of the air. Control of the air allows us to do a lot of things. And that includes what I suggested earlier, having, four promotional carts directed specifically at this crisis and asking people to donate. Will that bring in a lot of money? Probably not, but it'll help. And then if we have leadership saying, look, we got this problem, guys, and talking honestly and directly to our listener members and our audiences and tell them, this is the situation we're in. We have to have your help and support to solve it. That kind of, I think, direct approach will work. It always has been with the listeners. They always are open-minded and willing to help. And so I just think we have to take things by the, we just got to grab this problem and solve it and get through it quickly, as fast as we can, without us having to think of other options, which all of us know are awful and we don't want to go that way. Okay, but I propose that we do that right now. We set up some sort of group to work on this, directly help Stephanie, and just move ahead. Thank you.
Thanks. Egberto, then Jim Sagerton.
Yes, Stephanie, I have a couple of questions, and
Let me ask it this way. The $800,000 that we owe, are we paying interest on those, that money as well?
No, we are not.
We're not paying interest on that money. Okay, the next question is, if that $800,000 were paid off, when we combine all the stations, are we break even or are we still gushing money? The reason I'm asking the question that way is because I think several times I've said fundamentally the kind of changes that we have to make, in my humble opinion, is that the listener base isn't what it used to be. And I'm not talking about numbers. I'm talking about what they actually listen to, media as opposed to radio, meaning radio as a component, but other components. And I want to know if we are built specifically for radio and if under that method, we can really hope to be break even.
Point of personal privilege, Chair.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think Egberto went off mic there. Can he advise
him?
I thought it sounded like it got dim but then I thought he was done speaking. Yes, we can hear you.
Did you hear the last question or?
No.
Yeah, the last question was, go ahead.
Paper down.
Yeah, that we are in a different modal, if you will. And my question is right now we're not breaking even. If we're not breaking even, I wonder what it is that we should be doing to get to that point. Because I mean, the $800,000, what you're telling me, it's a growing payable and it's not static. Correct?
Correct. Correct. Because there is very few divisions and stations that are giving their portion to central services, but the national office is still continuing to have to pay for some of those things. So what's happening, for example, if a station is paying is past due and their health benefits by 4 months or 3 months or whatever it may be, that doesn't mean those haven't been paid. The national office has paid those, but there hasn't been any reimbursement for those payments that have been made. And that's happened with insurance costs. That's happened with helping cover payroll costs, with some major past due bills where things just had to be paid in order to make sure that, you know, there was power continued or rent continued or something like that. So what's happened in the past is that when the national office has paid for something, rather than that getting paid back, it's just been kind of a wash, and the money for central services is just kind of being passed around electronically without actual cash ever hitting a bank. So we're just continuing to cover those costs without anything coming in to replenish it. So
let me ask a last, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
So let me ask a last, probably a bit of a controversial question. Shouldn't we get a proposal that rightly states what the reality is about fundraising based on the amount of people and resources that we have in these five stations, in effect to right size and right adjust to what I hate to use a market because I'm definitely not a market person, but to right adjust to what the media market is, I guess.
Oh, exactly. I mean, with any sort of budgeting, when you're creating a budget, you look at the per cost. And again, I'm not saying that our listeners are units, but looking at it from a business corporate standpoint, when you're developing your budget, you have to break it down as cost per unit. So what does it cost us to run the station? Even if we look at the units by hour, what does it cost per hour to run that station? How many listeners, and when we figure out going that direction as to how much does it cost, taking everything into consideration with insurance and benefits and your, you know, basic, your costs, then your payments to central services and to the archive central services and your admin costs and any sort of, you know, whatever your, those basic costs that it just takes to run a business every day. You have to take all that into consideration. And then once you can break it down as simply as a per unit cost, then you can say, okay, how much do we need to raise every hour to bring that in? And then you break it down with, okay, this is then the revenue that we need to raise. And that revenue, if we have 80% of our income that is based, 80% of our revenue is listener support, or at this point, 90% of our revenue, then break it down again. Now per unit, how many listeners do we need? How many units do we need to bring in money in order to make that necessary revenue? And if you already have those set costs for what it costs per hour to run that station, then you know how much revenue is going to have to come in. If that's not coming in through listener support, because we see that listener support is continuing to decline, then you need to figure out what do we need to do to diversify that revenue stream. And, we can't sort of sit back and say, oh, this should have been looked at 10 years ago, or right, somebody didn't do this, or somebody didn't do that, because we're now at a point that because all of those things weren't looked at, and that budgeting aspect of each of these divisions and the company has not been the standard that most corporations, nonprofit, for-profit, large or small, do to manage their financials. We, unfortunately, all of us are in this position right now where it's kind of the perfect storm. We haven't looked at that decline in our listeners and compensated by changing our expenses, changing how we're running things, looking at the diversification of our revenue stream. And so now we're at a point where we're having to look at that, but it's kind of too late. Does that mean we're going to not look at that moving forward? Of course not. That's the thing. It's like you are continually still looking at building up, the social media presence now in order to get that Giving Tuesday, as Teresa was saying, right, started, not just hopping in the day before Giving Tuesday, but having that whole countdown, setting up those, thermometers, making sure that we have somebody that's at each social media area ready to post every single hour what we're doing with that Giving Tuesday, promoting it 2 to 3 weeks in advance, increasing the car donations. We have car donations on every revenue line of our budget, but do we have those promos that are going out talking about car donation? I don't know. People usually don't even think about donating a boat or an RV, but I've had a boat donated to another organization that pretty much covered one of our quarters of expenses, and we didn't even think of that, So it's all of these things that while we unfortunately have to make some painful decisions to help us right now, we can't stop looking at what we need to do in the future, which is increasing the listeners, breaking out into the other world of podcasting, making sure that we can also stream, how can we make sure that we stay on the air in case we lose a tower? Do we have the ability to still continue to stay online? According to our chief engineer, we don't. And those were things that were brought up quite a few years ago of the what ifs. So that was my concern a few months ago when I didn't know if we were going to be able to pay the tower rent for KPFK, is that if by chance that shuts off, can we still stay on the air? I don't want us to have to look back and go, oh, remember that one time in 2022 where, we were off the air for 48 hours? But we don't have the capacity to do that. We don't have the mechanics in place to stay on the air in case something like that would happen. And those were things that Mo brought up many, many years ago. But again, we're just kind of overlooked and not pointing fingers or anything like that. And, we can't sit there and do the what ifs, who did this, who did that. Unfortunately, all of us right here are in a place where we're having to deal with it, and some tough decisions need to be made while we're still looking forward to make sure that we continue as a viable organization with sustainability in the future, which is increasing our listeners, which is building up our, better social media and websites, and, looking at seriously discussing the underwriting or, corporate partnerships, not even corporate, but community partnerships, and working better with the community where we're helping them and they're helping us, and doing all of these things that we need to do to build a better, getting better contracts with all of our programmers and making them make those comments about you should be donating and you're supporting us and we're all part of this. So those are all things that have to be accomplished. But again, we're kind of in the place that we are right now.
If we got
rid of that $800,000 debt, would we be breaking even? No.
Okay.
Egberto, your time is up.
Thank you. I'm done. Actually, I'm not done, but I'm done because my time is up.
You can get back on.
Okay.
Although we've got even more people.
I'm done then. I won't take any more time.
Hang on.
The 10-minute extension has expired.
All right. So.
Move to extend another 5. James?
Well, I will just add that I see Jim Sagerton, Jim Dingman, Lawrence Reyes, and Teresa Allen on the stack. So unless people ask 1-minute questions, we're not going to get through.
Maybe another 10 then.
Chair, may I move to amend, Mr. Sagerton's motion?
Go ahead, Lawrence.
That we exhaust the stack as you see it right now?
Which, exhausting the stack as I see it right now would be Jim Sagerton, Jim Dingman, Lawrence, Teresa, and then we're done. Is there a second to Lawrence's motion?
Second.
Thank you. Are there any objections to Lawrence's amendment? Hearing none, the motion is amended. Are there any objections to the motion to extend to we exhaust the stack as the main motion now? Hearing none, we exhaust the stack. So still please be, judicious with your use of time here, folks. Jim Dingman, then Lawrence. Jim?
All right.
I think you skipped me.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, Egberto put his hand down and that moved the tiles on the screen. I'm sorry. Jim Sagerton and Jim Dingman.
Okay, so Stephanie, I'm going to suggest that we get some kind of a graphic representation that'll be easy for everybody to understand, to see where our past due payables have been. This, this month is 800,000. Where was it last month, the month before? I would like people to see how it's been expanding. And I think it would be very helpful for the board members to see, like, maybe month by month going back about 6 months. And then after that, maybe going back for a couple of years, every 6 months, to show how this thing has been growing. So we know where it is now and where it's been. And how, essentially unprecedented this situation is. And second of all, I just think revenue. We've been all about how to cut and reduce the expenses. We've been very weak on expanding the revenue. And I just think the fund drive we did for the archives was very lackluster, and we need to do that again. I mean, my thinking was back then that we should have done it already again by now, and it should be done with more premiums with more price points, et cetera. I don't want to review all of the critiques of that fund drive, but
Jim, your time
is
up.
That is a potential source of immediate emergency revenue. We also need to do immediate emergency daily fundraising at KPFK, a la the 52-week schedule type stuff. It's just not happening. We need to do that. Thank you.
Thanks. Jim Dingman, then Lawrence. Jim?
Well, I would propose to the body, do we need, I just ask a question, do we need to have a task force to deal with this right now? Is a motion necessary to do that? Will that be helpful? Will that be useful? Because all these problems have been going on for years and years and years, and now they're exploding in our faces, whether we like it or not. So I'm just trying to think of, is that appropriate to put a motion here? I don't want to, I know we got lots of things to do, but I just assume get some folks working together on this immediately and start to deal with it. Because yes, Stephanie raised all the structural problems. We don't have to go into that. We could spend 3 hours, 4 hours talking about that. We got to deal right now with reducing this $800,000 on top of all the fixed expenses. So is it appropriate, I just ask folks, is it appropriate to set up some sort of group to start immediately going and focusing in on that issue? Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks, Jim. Lawrence is next.
Thank you, Chair.
And Teresa.
So, Stephanie, I do own you a call. I'm sorry I haven't gotten to you. I've been having life on life's terms issues, but I'm hanging in there. In regards to something that James Sagerton said, about a graphic. I'm a visual person, so graphics will be helpful. So I like to endorse that idea. Also, in regards to putting together the labor union and having that conversation with my labor union, I think that's one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about. And then the last thing is, emergency programming. I've been in our working group at KPFK. That's one of the things I mentioned. Emergency programming that's refreshing, that's relevant to what's happening in our society today. There's a lot of things happening in our society, as we all know, from voter suppression, from prohibiting women's reproductive rights, systemic racism, or just a whole sorts of things that we could have emergency programming for, which I think is what our listeners really want to hear. And my question to maybe it's to the chair, is there going to be a motion to be considered about underwriting? Because if there is, I did submit a motion, a substitute motion, to the PNB and to the chair, the vice chair, Stephanie and others. So I don't know if that's going to be taken up tonight.
It is not going to be taken up tonight.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Sure.
That's it.
Thank you. Okay.
Teresa's next, and then we move on to the next item. Teresa? And you're muted.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I would love to talk to you, Stephanie. I would think that if we're going to have a committee that works on this emergency, it should be development or strategic planning. Some group of people that could go into executive session and take some steps to resolve the problem. Talking about this, oh, we're going to do this, and telling the whole world about it, I don't think it's the solution. And I don't think a town hall meeting is the solution. I think that that development should already be working on it. And I'm sorry that I'm not on development. I guess I could attend the meetings, but and I guess I have two questions. Like, one question is, what are the development directors at the stations doing about this? Because they're the ones that are kind of coordinating the efforts to raise money, right? And somebody in the chat wrote, paid pitching. Isn't every programmer on task to raise money and given a budget that should mobilize them to set goals? Because if you don't have a dream, how's your dream going to come true? If you don't have a plan, if you don't have a goal, how are you ever going to actually reach it?
Teresa, your time is up.
Okay, so those are my two questions. Something like, what is your development directors doing? What are the, if you don't have a general manager, you don't have anybody steering those individual ships. So that's part of the problem.
There are stations that don't have program directors, news directors, the concept of a development director at a station. I'm not even too sure which stations would have one except possibly KPFA. There is not one at T. There's a development director?
There is one at T.
Oh, okay. News,
and
yeah.
Yes, KPFA does.
Yeah, I figure the KPFA probably did, but yes. And, you know, again, there's nothing really that is a national, because it's still, and I don't want to branch up into something else, but it is still somewhat shocking to me that there are grants that are being written or submitted or contracts being entered into or agreements that are being made at station levels, and it's not being run through the national office to take a look at that. Because just for tax purpose and stewardship reasons, you know, I would want that to be at a national level. It would be great, again, as I've said, but again, looking forward, that's not helping what we do now, to have a national program director, a national marketing manager, and a national development director, you know, that's able to do that. You know, I'm happy to sort of step up and do some of those things, but again, it's more than just fundraising that is necessary at this point with the company. It's a lot of sort of daily managing of just keeping everybody on track and the aspects of running a business on a daily basis. But yes, there, and that's one of the things, what you're making the budget. You know, I don't see a lot of these budgets until they're already being presented to the finance committee, whereas I would like to be able to have an active role in the creation of these budgets so we can have justification columns and note columns and adequate budget narratives and being able to look at how much does it cost to run your station every day and how much do we need to raise in revenue. So there, you know, again, there's a lot of missing standard operating procedures that haven't really been put into place and are new to people when you bring that up to them. This is what we need to do. So hopefully I was hoping as we were able to try to get budgets for fiscal year 23, that we would be able to have something put into place. But I think only one budget so far has been approved for 23, and our fiscal year starts October 1st.
Thanks, Stephanie.
And which one is that?
The affiliates.
Yeah. So thank you, Stephanie. We need to move on to the next item, which is, and I see that there are some hands up, and I'm sorry, but that's, you know.
Julie, point of information, please.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay, I just want to find out if the individual stations can do, please forgive me, I can't remember the term. It's advertising. Somebody help me with the word.
Underwriting.
Thank you so much. That's it.
The strategic planning committee is working on an underwriting motion, and they've reached out to some folks who have had experience with underwriting in the past. I think, you know, Heather was part of that, and Ursula from the Affiliates Network. And they're working on a motion, but I think they weren't quite ready to present it to the PNB yet, and that it just needed a little more tweaking and based on the last strategic planning committee meeting. And so that's why it hasn't come to the PNB yet. I think it's getting close. It's just not quite here yet. Good question, though.
Point of information?
Yes, the Jim Dingman.
The motion has been tweaked.
Oh, okay.
It will be going up.
Jim, you're sort of cutting in and out.
The motion is tweaked. It will be put, we'll have a meeting of the Strategic Planning Committee in about a week to handle this issue.
Got it. So, perhaps next week the PMP could even take it up. Okay. So the next item on the agenda is, a motion on conducting performance reviews for GMs. It says something else and it's kind of mislabeled, but because it's really just about GMs. Before I actually read the motion, what I'm going to point out is I'm going to say something because there's been a little bit of misinformation there, you know, or some people who say that Stephanie is empowered to do next to nothing without a motion from the PMB. And that's not entirely true. She's responsible for sort of the day-to-day operations of the foundation and working with the units. And so there are some things that she does need PMB approval to do, and that's, you know, things like entering into contracts. She needs approval to fire people, except when it's a circumstance where, you know, imminent health and safety danger kinds of things are at issue. Anyway, I just wanted to be clear. So what our bylaws say is that LSBs are to review general managers. And so this is already in our bylaws, but here comes a motion on conducting performance reviews for GMs. Stephanie doesn't need this motion to be able to conduct the performance reviews, but this might light a fire under some people a little bit. So here comes the motion. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me step back and say, Darlene, this is a 15-minute item. Whereas Article 7, Section 3, Paragraph C of the Pacifica bylaws lists among the duties of the local station boards to prepare an annual written evaluation of the station's general manager, that was in quotes, whereas Article 7, Section 3, Paragraph B authorizes the executive director to hire general managers, whereas three stations, KPFA, KPFK, and KPFT, have interim general managers for whom an evaluation is both not required by the bylaws and inappropriate for the short durations these individuals have served in their roles. And whereas WPFW's LSV has already submitted to the ED a written evaluation of the station's general manager. Therefore, be it resolved that the Pacifica National Board instructs the WBAI LSV to produce a written evaluation of the of their GM in a timely manner and present this evaluation to the ED so that the ED may conduct a performance review of the WBAI GM by the end of 2022. And be it further resolved that the PNB instructs the ED to proceed with an annual performance review with the WPFW GM. End of motion. Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you, Vanessa. Any discussion of this motion?